We're going to spend the next few moments focusing on God's word for us today. Today, we're in week 3 of a series that we've entitled Crazy Faith. You know, it's only crazy until it happens. And we feel like God has been leading us in the subject, this topic, and this message series is actually based on another pastor's work. His name is Michael Todd, and I believe this message is for us, that we're supposed to kick off 2023 growing in our faith, to not just be inspired by, but actually to learn kind of the nuts and bolts, the beginnings, like practical things of how we can grow in our faith. And it just hit me just a couple days ago that if everyone that's a part of Focus Church, whether you're here in person, you're watching online, if everyone went up a notch, went up a level in their faith, what could God do? What would God do with us and through us and for us? It just blows my mind. Now today, we're kicking off our focus groups. Our focus groups start this week. We want to make sure that you're a part of one. There's many different options at different times and different locations. And this is designed to be a supplement to what we're doing on the weekends. And so all the groups are going to do lesson one this week. They meet throughout this week. Then we have a week off, and then it's the next week. And we can do it every other week for 5 lessons. It'll take us right up to Easter time this year. And we highly encourage you to be a part of a focus group. It's not too late to sign up. We got online versions. We got in-person versions. Make sure you sign up. The papers are out in the lobby at the Connect Center. Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up your Bible app. We're going to be turning today to Genesis chapter 12. We're reading out the New Living Translation, and we encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone. And even though I know in just a moment we're going to have the words up on the screen, we want you to actually have this as kind of an exercise of, can I find the passage? Can I find the location in the Bible of what we're doing? And that way it kind of saves it for you later on, because we're going to encourage you later on this week to reread the passages. Yep, there's homework. You see, when he came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill in the blanks. The answers are going to come up on the screen as we talk about it. And this is to keep you awake while I'm talking. This is to keep you occupied. And there's plenty of room to doodle around this and everything. But this also tells you, how long is this pastor going to talk for today? You know, because eventually you want me to be done, because your tummy is going to say it's time for lunch, right? Well, we also want you to take these papers and use them as a study guide. Make a devotion out of it later on this week, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Take it back out, reread the passage for yourself, and look up and find out for yourself what the Bible says. Now, I want to say hi to those who are watching online. We're so glad that you are watching with us, and we're glad you're there. We want to know who is watching with us. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a moment to write in the comments right now and say hi to our online host? Tell us who you are, who's watching with you, maybe even where you're watching from. We're really glad that you're here today. So we're reading today in Genesis chapter 12, and we're actually only reading one verse, and it's verse 1. And here's what it says. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would help us grow, that you would challenge us, and that we would change, that we would grow in our faith. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. If you are a parent, then you know this fact to be true, that kids ask questions. And sometimes they ask too many questions. And as a parent, you know, it's kind of hard when kids are asking questions, because you might not be in a position to give them the answer that they need, or the answer that's right, or to talk with your spouse or anything. And so sometimes you don't want to say yes. Sometimes you want to say no. So experienced parents have come up with another answer whenever a kid asks a question. And this answer, this is gold right here. It's one word, maybe. Maybe. Dad, can we go to the park today? Maybe. Can I go spend the night at my friend's house? Maybe. Can we go to Culver's and get custard? Maybe. Can we go to Disney World? Maybe. Can we get a dog? Maybe. Can we get a cat?
No.
I'm not even joking. Maybe is a great word for parents because it doesn't lock parents in, but kids love the answer too because they haven't been shut down. They haven't been told no. They actually hold on to hope that it's still possible. You're saying there is a chance that this could happen. But our question here today is that when it comes to following God and having faith, is there any room for this word? Maybe. Today, we're reading out of Genesis chapter 12 about a guy by the name of Abram. And what we know about Abram is that he's someone who loves God. He talks to God. God talks to him. And he serves God with all his heart. But in this particular conversation, what's happening in verse 1, God's telling him to do something crazy. Now, let me break this down for you just so we all are on the same page of just how crazy this is and what God's asking him to do. Because what is he asking him to do? He said, leave. Leave where you are at. Leave your family, leave your relatives, leave your extended family, leave. Now, for us in our society, we're like, okay, so he's got to move. There's lots of reasons why we move, but let me help you understand here, because if we were to read the chapter right before this in Genesis chapter 11, we would find out that Abraham's, like, his ancestors, they moved here, and they've lived here, like, forever, 205 years in the same spot. So the idea of moving is not even in their paradigm. It's not even in their mind space. Like, what is that? No one ever leaves. Like, this is where we are. And God's asking them to leave their family, leave their home, leave where they are at. And this is crazy. But it's even crazier because God doesn't even tell them where they're going. He says, you're going to go to the place I'll show you. Wow. Now, here at Focus Church, we say this saying a lot, that we want to be people who hear from God, obey God, and do what? Shorten the distance in between. And we talk about this, but however, when it comes to hearing from God and obeying God, it sounds simple to shorten the distance in between, to do it faster. But the fact of the matter is that when it comes to obeying God, it often has a cost. There's usually some sort of pain involved. You see, for Abram, God just asked him to leave and rip his family apart, to pull up and take them out of everything that they know. This was going to cause a lot of pain. Can you just imagine Abram's getting up and saying, hey, guys, we're moving. And they're like, what's that? Well, we're not going to live here anymore. Where are we going to go? Oh, I don't know. Why? Because God told us so. How come? I don't know. Who's going? Well, all of us, I think. Where are we going? Are we there yet? I mean, like, he didn't even have answers to it. And this was going to be hard. You see, the pain of faith is real. But it never outweighs the promises of faith. If you have your Bible app still open, I'm going to continue reading in verses 2 and 3. It's not going to be up on the screen, so this is a test to see if you really followed along with me. So here we go. Here's what it says next, because he just told him to leave, and you're going to go to the place I show you. And then God says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. What God just did right there is he just gave him promises. And when we talk about God's promises here at Focus Church, one thing that we've come across that's been kind of a light bulb moment for us, bing, is this, is that when it comes to God's promises, they're usually if-then statements. That if you do this, then God will do this. Or if you want God to do this, then you just have to do this. And it's pretty much a guarantee. And it's not a guarantee that you can't get this from God unless you do that. It's an if-then statement. Let me give you some examples. The Bible says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there with them. Or, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear them, I'll forgive them, I'll heal their land. If then. Where the Bible also says that if you bring your tithe to the storehouse, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and take care of you. If then statements. And God just presented an if-then statement to Abraham. If you leave and go to the place I show you, leave your family, I will bless you. I will make you a blessing to others. People are going to know you. People who try to hurt you, I'm going to take care of them. And you're going to bless every single person on the planet. I'm going to bless them through you. Wow. It was in 2017 that God asked my family to leave the comforts of the South and come up to the North, to Wisconsin, in the middle of winter. In the middle of the worst ice storm winter that we had. And as we were here for the first few months, we were leading the church. And one of the big things that God had us do is that we were renaming the church, and we were creating a new identity for Focus Church, claiming that name and rebranding. And one of the things we wanted to focus on is we wanted to focus on the next generation. And so we worked on a big remodel project in our lower level to make a new nursery, to make a new kids space, to make game rooms, to make space for kids, to show that kids matter. And that meant we worked a lot of extra things. And the whole time that I'm working on this construction project, and we're leading people who are helping, and we're raising funds for this, in the meantime, my family is still trying to relocate here to Wisconsin. And if you're moving and you're going to a new place, you kind of need a place to sleep. You kind of need a place to call your own. You need a home. And so when we came here, we bought a home, but the home was half done. And they told us, it'll just take a few months and we'll have it done and then you can move in. And we're like, okay, we can make it a few months. But we kept on having meeting after meeting with our contractor to where they kept on saying in each one of these meetings, we're so sorry, we can't help it, but there's been circumstances beyond our control where we know we said it'll be done here, but now it's going to be here. And it seemed like every time they met with us, they just gave us a farther date of when our house would be ready. It got to the point I didn't want to meet with them anymore so that the date would stay the same, right? And this was frustrating because we were living in someone's basement in a two-bedroom, one-bath little apartment in a basement with seven of us. My kids were all in one room with air mattresses that filled up the whole floor, and Riley just couldn't handle the boys' stink anymore. She's like, Dad, they smell. Okay? And here we are. It was one moment, one night, that I'm here after hours and doing construction, working late. It's probably got, at this point, got past midnight. And we had just had a meeting that day where they yet again pushed the date back. And I'm just frustrated. And I'm talking to God. It's like, God, I don't think this is worth it. I don't think I can do this because here I am at midnight trying to build a new nursery for kids our church doesn't have yet. And I don't even have a place for my kids to call home yet. Now, this is not fair. We are homeless right now. Do you even care? Like, I'm doing all this for you. We said, yes, we left where we're at. We came here to Wisconsin. And do you even care what's going on? And God spoke to me in that moment. So clear, just one statement. And he said, Ryan, if you take care of my house, I will take care of your house. And fast forward a few months to even the end of the year, and we can look back and see that as we made the changes to Focus Church, as we built a brand new nursery, babies started coming, and our children's ministry started growing. And as they finally did complete our house, they blessed us. They gave us all our money back and did so much extra, so many extra things where we were blessed beyond measure. And we can see now at the end, like, God did his part. If we did our part, because that's how God's if-then promises work. If we will do our part, he will do his part. But I understand that you could be sitting there, you could be watching online, and you're like, it's easy to be inspired by a pastor on a stage who just seems to have great faith. And he like hears God, like he's got tapped in, like, wow, God spoke to him in the basement in the middle of the night, a statement. And you look at that and he's like, I don't think I could ever reach that level. That I can't hear God like that. God doesn't speak to me like that. I get this question often where someone comes to me and they're like, Pastor, I think I'm supposed to do something, that God may be leading me to do something, but how are you sure it's really him? Like, how are you sure you're really supposed to do it or not? Like, do you need to be like 100% sure it's God before you take action? Like, is that what you do, Pastor? Like, you're sure? Because you talk on stage like you are sure that God spoke to you. And you act on it and you obey. And there doesn't seem to be any distance between hearing and doing. It's like, is it 90%? Do you need to be 80% sure that God's leading you to do something before you do it? Oh, please don't tell me it's 75%. You need to be 75% sure. You know, when it comes to faith, we think we need to be sure. But let me tell you a secret when it comes to faith. And this applies to every single person. It applies to pastors, people we think that are great with faith. Let me just tell you this. No one is sure. No one. There is no way to be sure. It's impossible to be sure. The Bible says that when it comes to God, that his ways are not our ways and his thinking is not our thinking, that we can't even comprehend, because faith begins where our understanding ends. That's where faith's required, because we don't know. We can't know. No one is sure. But you know what? We want to be sure. We want to have 100% proof. But that's not even how we live our lives. Let me show you. Who here likes custard at Culver's? Okay, almost everyone in the room likes custard at Culver's. Now, Culver's offers two flavors of custard all the time, and then they put the flavor of the day. But you can always get vanilla or chocolate, right? And so that pretty much everyone kind of falls into one of two camps, that you either like vanilla or you like chocolate. And so I'm going to take a poll here right now, and you can participate online if you want to, but I'm not going to see what you're doing. Don't worry. If you like vanilla custard at Culver's, go ahead and raise your hand. Raise your hand. Wow. Okay. Got it. Now, if you prefer chocolate custard at Culver's, raise your hand. Huh. Okay. Now, I saw some people, they had a hard time deciding, so they really were sure. They put both hands up. And some people just put their hands up for both flavors. You know, that's like, it depends on the day, Pastor. Like, the moment. I can't decide till I get to the counter, right? But here's what I just counted in our poll. I can boldly make this statement based off what I just counted, that Focus Church prefers vanilla custard at Culver's. Why? Because most of you do. And it's okay to make that statement. We agree it's okay to make that statement because majority rules, right? It didn't have to be unanimous for us to declare we prefer vanilla custard. Now, I'll just let you know that this is our third service. We've done this poll, and vanilla has won every time. So that we can just declare, we'll put it on the website or something. Like that. Let's tweet that or something, that Focus Church prefers vanilla custard at Culver's, okay? But it's how we operate. It's how we think, that we just need a simple majority. I mean, think about this when it comes to elections. When we got to elect an official to lead us in some sort of capacity, the person who wins the election wins by 51%. That means almost half of the people who voted didn't want them. But then we say, they won. They're now the leaders. They're now in charge. And they operate as if it's the will of the people that we wanted them there. Okay, that's how elections work. That's how our society works, that it just is a simple majority. It's 50% plus one, or 51%. We don't have to be unanimous. We work life, we operate life with a simple majority. And the same applies to our faith. You see, faith at 51% says, I can't see the whole pathway, but Lord, I trust you enough to start walking anyways. You see, we don't know all of God's plans. He doesn't ever reveal the destination. He just gives out the next move. As a matter of fact, in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That God only shows us the next step. And we're like, God, I'm not taking that step that you're clearly lighting up for me because I don't know where it's headed to. I don't know what path this is going to take me. And after following Jesus for quite a while now in my life, I am convinced of this, that if we knew where God was taking us, we'd be scared to death. And you're like, I ain't doing that. But it's a process. And God knows what he's doing. Remember, his ways are not our ways. That we don't have to understand all of it. We just have to take the next step. It's kind of like driving a car in a new area, having to rely on your GPS or on your phone. That you could be in a new area that you know nothing about. You're like, hey, I need to get from here to home or where to go. And it'll start routing you to where you need to be. But a lot of times when that happens, you're in a new area and you're in one spot, it doesn't know exactly what the next instruction should be. And so you know what your GPS tells you? Proceed to the route. Proceed to the route. And you're looking at it, it's like, I see a plan of where I'm supposed to go, but I don't know if right now it's a left or a right. And so we're kind of frozen. We don't know what to do. But do you know how we fix that when we're in this new area and we're trying to follow the GPS? We put it in drive and we start moving. Because when our vehicle starts moving, then the satellites can pick up our trajectory of where we're going. And you know what it does if you pick the wrong direction to go in? It reroutes you, right? It just changes the path and tells you what the next step is. But in order to get to what the next step is, what did you have to do? You had to move. You had to start. You had to do something. And the same applies when we operate in faith. It's like, I don't know if I can get there. And God's like, if you'll just move, I can take care of you and I can guide you to your next step and to the next step. And you're going to get to where I want you to be. And here in Genesis chapter 12, we have God telling Abram, I want you to leave and I'll show you where you're going. You don't know where you're going to end up, but I'll show you. And the response that Abraham has, we find it in verse number 4. It says this, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. You see, he took action without it being 100%, without knowing the destination or the outcome. Even though there would be pain involved, Abram moved forward on what I'd like to call maybe faith. Last week, we talked about that the first steps of faith, we call it baby faith, you know, taking the baby steps of faith. And now we're like, this is where the rubber meets the road. How do we get started with faith? And we get frozen because we want to be sure. We want to know everything, and you're never going to know everything. But you got to move. You got to start. You got to proceed in maybe faith. Now, I want you to write this in your notes. If you haven't scribbled little pictures in it already, keep yourself awake. If you got a white spot, I'm going to tell you the formula of how you get to faith, okay? It's going to be a simple addition problem, okay? That this plus this equals faith, okay? So it's not in your notes. You got to handwrite this in, put this in, and this is for you to reread later on, okay? But this is secret stuff here. This is the real nitty-gritty when it comes to faith. So the formula is this. What I know plus trust equals faith. What I know plus trust equals faith. Okay? So, let's put this in a practical sense. We have all been to school. And at some point, we took a science class, and they taught us about the environment, and they told us about this concept called wind. We're like, what is wind? They're like, well, we can't really explain it. Well, let me see it. Well, you can't see wind. Well, is it even there then? Oh, yeah, it's there. Well, how do we know it's there? We can see the effects of the wind. Like when it's blowing, things move. When it's not blowing, it can get hot. When you're in Wisconsin and it's cold and the wind's blowing, that's the number we got to pay attention to. And here's the thing I've discovered after 6 years of living in Wisconsin is that Wisconsin would be great if there's no wind. If we could just eliminate wind in Wisconsin, it'd be amazing here, okay? And think about it. Your best days in Wisconsin is when the wind is like at least down below 10 miles per hour, right? Okay? But we see the effects of wind. And because we see the effects of wind, it affects our life. It's somehow computed in our brain into the what I know that wind exists. And remember, you can't see it, you can't touch it. I mean, it can touch you. I mean, you can feel the effects of it, but there's no proof it's really there. But you know what? There's people who go a step further than just the knowledge of what I know about wind, and they do things to harness wind. Like people who have decided to take a boat and put a sail on it and say, we could go way faster with the wind. And you know what they're doing when they do that? They're putting trust with what they know. They're taking action with it. They're having faith in wind that it'll get them someplace faster. Or how about the smart people who have said, let's take what we know about wind and let's put a big old propeller on a big white tower and put it up on a hill and let's generate electricity. Let's put it to work. Well, they're putting what they know about wind, putting action or what they trust about it, like they're going all in with it to produce something. They're having faith in wind. We do this with Wi-Fi. Can you see Wi-Fi? But hey, you go into a new place and your cell signal's down. You're at the restaurant, like, what's your Wi-Fi password? You know? And we rely on it. We engage. Like, we know Wi-Fi exists. We see the effects of it. It makes our phones operate faster to see Facebook, right? But we take action with it because we trust that it's there to where we actually engage and actually connect to it with our devices so that they go get us information faster. We have faith in Wi-Fi. But maybe there's another way to look at this. Michael, can you grab me that chair right there and bring it up on stage for me? The end chair, just pick it up, bring it up here. Let's put it right here on the stage. Let's give him a hand. He's doing this awesome. Like, he's a great helper. It's right here. Perfect. You can head back to your seat. Thank you very much. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, those who are in person, those watching online, this is a chair. Okay? And a chair has been designed by a creator, by a designer, for a purpose. What is its purpose? To sit on. Right. It's been designed. Like, there's an engineer who figured out the right shape, the right design, for its one singular purpose, to hold someone as they sit down. Now, this particular chair right here, this was designed to also be in a church. It's designed that when someone's sitting down, they can actually last while the person's talking too long up on the platform. It's extra cushy. And this particular chair, they designed it with a shelf underneath so we could put a basket there or a book. This chair is also designed knowing that if it's in a church, sometimes we need lots of chairs and sometimes we need a big open room, so it's stackable. But an engineer, a designer, came up with a plan, a design, and everything for its purpose. Can it hold my weight? Can I sit down on it? Now, we had these chairs put all around the room that as you came in today, you picked one of them. But I did not see a single person in here who came today and said, I'm not so sure that's a good chair. I'm not so sure that this thing's gonna hold me. I mean, as a matter of fact, I didn't see anyone who kind of approached this chair like, you know what? If I just look at it, it's going to fall apart. You didn't approach it like Goldilocks. I'm going to test this out to see if it's just right. Like, I'm going to get over here and get on the edge and, it kind of shook there a little bit. Maybe. No, you know what you guys did? That's what you did. You didn't even think about it. You just did it. And you know what you did when you sat down in that chair? You took what you knew about the chair. You put your trust in it that it was going to hold your weight by putting all your weight in it. And guess what? You had faith in that chair. And more importantly, you had faith in the designer of that chair. You did it without even thinking. And this is what it's like to follow God. This is what it's like to have faith that when we take what we know and we go all in and put our weight onto it and we just, I'm in. And how do we know we're in? I put all my weight on it. I mean, right now, if this chair didn't hold me up, when I put my whole weight on it, I'm in for disaster, right? I mean, that's like one of the biggest pranks you could possibly do with somebody. Like, they're going all in to sit on a chair and put their full weight down, and whoop, take that chair away. It's kind of funny to see them fall flat on their rear, right? Because we trust chairs. We trust chair designers, and we trust it by throwing our weight on it. And when it comes to what God has for us, the question is, do you put your weight into it? I would go so far as to say this, that if you don't trust God's word enough to put your weight on it, then you don't actually have faith. Like, you might know about what God has for you. You might know and understand who God is, the designer of everything. You might know a lot about God, but if you don't ever go all in and put your weight on it, you don't have faith. One part by itself doesn't equal faith. It's both parts. What I know plus my trust equals faith. So what has God been asking you to do? To trust him in. To have 51% faith in. I mean, how many of you have ever made a decision with a pro-con list? Oh, come on. I know more of you have, right? I see that hand online. Good. Okay. What you do, you're like, I have to make a decision. What's the pros with this decision? What's the cons in this position? We make a list. And how do we decide? Whichever list has the bigger list? Whichever one seems that it's more in favor than the other? We make a decision, not by unanimous, but by a little simple majority. And when it comes to the things of God and the things he's asking us to do, it's not whether or not we know everything. It's not whether or not we know that what the final destination is. So in order to take the first step, we got to trust the Creator. We got to say, you know what? I may not understand what he's asking me to do, but I trust him. And that's how we start off in faith. That's how we have maybe faith. And anyone who's ever done anything amazing for God, I will tell you, it's not that they were super confident or 100% sure. They were just 51% sure. They were, maybe it might happen. Just like a kid who hears maybe and says, oh, it might be possible. It wasn't a no. The same thing goes for us. Maybe God will do this. So I take a step. I put my weight on it. So if there's something we need to decide here today to move forward, I think it's this. It's in the yellow box on your notes. It's up on the screen. I need to personalize this. That I want to experience all that God has for me, so I will put my weight on it and act. That's the whole reason why we put do something on shirts, why we put it on the door, because action combined with what we know equals faith. Let's God do his part. Because we're doing our part. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is found in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And let me just put this out here. This is so cool of a story. I want you to make it your homework. So right in the margins, my homework, right on your notes, put a calendar invite maybe for later this week that pastor says I need to read 1 Samuel chapter 14. But I'm going to give you a brief Reader's Digest version, a short version of it right here, Cliff Notes, okay? At this time, there's the country of Israel. It just has got his first king. His name is Saul. He has a son who's his prince. His name is Jonathan. And Israel has come about because a long time ago in a land far, far away, there was a dude by the name of Abram who left where his parents were to go to the land that God would show him. And because he left, God said, I'm going to bless you. And everyone's going to be blessed because of you. And anyone who comes against you, I will take care of them. But at this moment in time, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, another nation has invaded the Philistines, and they are winning. They have made it possible where no one in Israel even has a weapon. They actually, the whole army is left to just a few hundred people left in the Israelite army. They have no weapons except two swords. Okay, two swords. So out of everyone, guess who gets the two swords? The king and the prince. So that means every soldier does not have a weapon. And the Philistine army, they're big, they're mighty, they're well-armed, they're strategic, they're winning. And at this moment in time, in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the Israelite army has gone into hiding. Like they're hiding out in caves. They're hiding out in bushes. They don't want to be seen. They want to be found because they can't defend themselves. They're losing. And there's a moment one night where Jonathan, who's the prince, he talks to his armor bearer. Kind of funny, it's the guy who holds a sword for him. He says, you know what? This isn't right. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Because God's promise said that if our great-great-great-great-grandpappy Abram, if he left his land, then he would be blessed and that anyone who came against it would be taken care of. And here this army's taken care of. Is this the end of our country? He's like, no, it can't be. And so he makes a decision. He says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to climb this cliff up to where the Philistine army is. Perhaps God will help me because God is able to win any battle with a lot of soldiers or even just a few. So are you in? Now, okay, this doesn't make sense when it comes to military strategy. Okay, let me just tell you something. He was proposing that he was down in a ravine, the Philistines are up on a cliff looking out, and that he was going to climb up. And I actually studied military history as part of my military training. And let me just tell you something, a basic military principle. Whoever has the high ground wins. Anakin proved it. That's why they put castles on hills, because it's hard to come up and attack it. That's why there's a such thing called King of the Hill. I mean, like, if you're on top, you win. You can defend your position. And here Jonathan's proposing that he's going to climb up the cliff and go fight, and perhaps God would help him. He didn't hear from God. God didn't say, go fight them. No. But he knew the promises of God. He knew that God worked in if-then statements, and he knew that his ancestor had already heard from God, and he obeyed. And he left his homeland and went to this promised land, the land that was promised, and that the promise included that there would be blessing and there'd be protection. So Jonathan, with his armor bearer, went up the cliff. And the Bible describes that it was so hard to climb, they had to use their hands and their feet all at once. That means so they were not in any type of fighting position. They didn't have sword drawn. They didn't have shield up or anything. They are vulnerable coming up the cliff. As a matter of fact, they were spotted halfway up. And the soldiers allowed them to come all the way up because, like, we had the advantage. This is going to be fun. Look at these two guys. The Bible says that when they got to the top, that God helped Jonathan and the armor bearer defeat 20 guys with a sword. Okay, the impossible. They had no assurance. They were only operating on maybe faith. Perhaps God will be there. Perhaps God will help us. God is able to do anything he wants to do. This is in fulfillment of the promise that he gave. And because there's such commotion with Jonathan and the armor bearers, the Philistine army woke up in their camp like, what's going on? There's fighting, we're being attacked. And they started having confusion and attacking each other. And so there's like a whole battle, battling it out, where the Philistines are fighting each other up on the hill. And the Israelite army that's in hiding, they're like, wait, who went to battle? We hear a battle. What's going on? The king's like, who's missing from our army? And they're like, we're just missing two guys, your son and his guy. He's like, we need to go help them. And so they rush in to go help. And it was one of the greatest victories that started turning the tide to get the Philistine army out of their promised land. All because one guy stepped out, not in 100% faith, but in maybe faith. We don't have to be sure. We just have to fully trust in the God who asked us to do something. So it's not whether or not you have all the answers or whether or not you know how it's all going to work or how it's going to end up. It's just, do you trust God? Do you trust him enough to throw your weight onto it? I'm going all in. I don't know how it's going to work, but God, he can be trusted. I can trust the designer. And that's how we grow in our faith. That's how we make it possible for God to come through and do the impossible on our behalf. It takes our action. So let's trust God and take maybe steps of faith. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we spend a moment talking for God, talking to God. God, today we all here, both in person, online, we want to grow in our faith in you. But we've been presented probably with a concept that we've never heard said before, ever. And it has to do with that we don't have to be sure to take our next step. And God, I believe that there are people who have heard this message, that this is blowing their mind, that they've actually been frozen from doing what God has been asking them to do because they haven't been sure. But God, we recognize today that it's not about being 100% sure. It's about being sure in you, knowing who you are and trusting you, throwing our full weight into it, to operate in this maybe space, that perhaps you will help us. Perhaps you are leading us. Perhaps you know what we don't know. Perhaps you can do anything that you want. God, I pray that in the coming hours and days and weeks and months, that you will bring to our memory what we just heard here today, that we would step out even if we don't know, just like Abram did when he asked him to leave, recognizing, yes, there'll be pain involved, but the promises far outweigh the pain. God, help us to put action to what we know so that it equals faith. Help us, God, to realize it's not about 100%, it's about 51%. God, we trust you, and we thank you here today, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a few moments ago we said that if you came today looking for hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope, and here we are at the end. God loves you so much, but as human beings, we are destined to spend eternity away from him, to go to hell, not because of what we've done, but just for existing. Why? Because of Adam and Eve and the original sin, the Garden of Eden, that we're all doomed, that we're all born with a propensity for evil, to do wrong. And our eternal destination will be hell unless something changes. But the fact of the matter is that we can't change it. There's nothing we can do to be forgiven of our sin. We can't be good enough. Can't help enough old ladies across the street. We can't give enough. It doesn't matter. But Jesus said it himself. It's recorded in John chapter 3, that God loved you and me, the whole world, so much that he sent his son Jesus, that whoever believes in him would not perish forever in hell, but will have all of eternity in heaven. You see, today we talked about the promise that God gave to Abram. And we're going full circle here because the last part of the promise says that everyone through Abram would be blessed if he left. And what God was referring to was that Jesus was going to be a descendant of Abram. And through Jesus, everyone can be saved. Everyone can be forgiven. Everyone can be set free. Everyone can become a part of God's family. Everyone could get to go to heaven because of what Jesus did. He came to this planet not to start a religion, not to be a good teacher, not to perform some miracles. He came with the mission to live a perfect life so he had no sin, so that when he died, he could take on our sin. And because he could do that, he could actually pay the price for us, the penalty. And he died. But God didn't leave him dead, but he brought him back to life in 3 days. And because of that, now we can turn to him and say, yes, I claim what he did for me. God, will you forgive me? And God will say, yes. But you may be sitting here today and say, wow, that's a lot to swallow, Pastor. I don't even know where to begin in believing any of that. But you know what? Today we were talking about maybe faith. That we take what we know and we put action to it. We trust, and that's how we have faith. And that's where we're at right now. That you don't have to understand everything. You just have to trust there's a God who loves you, who made a way where there was no way. That your life can be changed, that it can be different. You're saying, Pastor, okay, so what do I got to do? Well, the Bible describes that we got to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And in this prayer, we got to recognize that we're not worthy, that we have sin, and we really need to say, I'm sorry. Two, we need to believe that Jesus did come, that he did pay the price, and we got to claim that what he did was for me. And three, we got to go all in to say yes to God, to say, God, I'm going to make you the leader of my life. I'm going to follow you. You're going to be the boss of me. And when we pray that prayer, everything changes. And so I want to help you with that today. So I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to say it out loud in bite-sized pieces, and I'm going to encourage you to repeat after me saying it out loud. But don't worry, you're not praying it alone, because I'm asking everyone who's a part of the Focus family to pray it with us. No one prays alone here at Focus Church. You see, this is the most important thing we do here. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. So whether you're in this room or you're watching online, let's pray this prayer here together. Say, Dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.